everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Your Royal Highness, they'll be bringing your coffee shortly.
Well,
settle down.
What the hell
relax.
Is it?
Oh my God!
How many nights don't I want coffee? That's the question we.
Yeah,
I
like
be
the way you were sort of gesturing to the court.
Well, look, it's hard not to look like a prick when you're talking and trying to get somebody to do something that's completely different than what you're talking about. All you got is those hand things. Mm. There's no hand, please.
The silent snap and the
Chris point. Was impressed.
Hey, all right, prick. Christopher Titus is our guest tonight from the hit series Titus.
Good evening.
Saw the big billboard up on Ventura Boulevard in Studio City.
Come on. It's got an edge to it, what I like about it, too. Hey, behind every good man is a woman kicking his butt. Yeah, they don't play around at Fox. Right. They push the envelope. And, you know, they're the Chuck Yeager of comedy, Fox.
I was telling Chris about the lost footage of Adam Carolla. You need a brain vacation.
You need a brain vacation. Oh, man. I see. Now, the difference between me and you is that I would just, well, I guess we're not doing that.
Well, that's what he did.
Good for you.
Oh, to be... And Drew, how many times did I pull... Oh, not pull you aside, just yell at everyone, this is horrible.
No, you said, you said, listen, give me a couple seconds to get something going here. That I will save you from yourselves.
Yeah.
What was their response?
Shut up.
Yeah, network executives, they love to hear that. Yeah. Hey, I'm better than you. Step aside. Okay, sir.
My condescending, I'm going to save you from yourself line is worn thin with many a Hollywood executive. There could be nothing more insulting, really. It's even worse than you suck. It's like you're retarded and you don't know it.
Exactly.
We gotta
before
find
you
footage.
Hurt yourself with the sharp jokes, you know, that you tried. let me get in there and help you.
Wouldn't it be great to find that footage?
No.
Oh,
no, it'd be painful.
Oh.
It'd be brutally painful. Kiss my ass,
with,
you idiot.
With you tripping over there?
True, please.
They do a pratfall? You doing a pratfall? That's good. Because you're like the coolest. Because Adam Carolla's like the coolest guy.
No.
You are. You're king of cool. And then that's great. Whatever. Where's my check?
Oh,
yay.
My God.
So bad. So bad.
Oh, my God.
So bad.
If I can only find that.
Okay. All right. Drew, are you done? And Drew, you should not be talking because I was the only person in the room who repeatedly raised his hand and said,
What do I know?
Drew, tell Chris what we did in media training. when they tried to give us media training class.
What?
Have you ever heard of this media training?
What? No.
Media training, a lot of people don't know about this, but I would imagine you would use it if, now hold on, if you became a politician, you were thrust into the limelight without any former experience.
Some sort of woodshop for talking?
No, you need it where you've got to refine a message. Mm-hmm. Where someone goes, tell me your message, and they refine it for you. Well, this was, no. This was, we're going to teach you how to talk on camera and answer questions. And you basically told them to kiss your ass, if I remember right.
Yeah.
It was even something stronger than that.
And, it was a horrible day. Yeah, where they sit you in a room with publicists.
Kiss your ass is a pretty clean message, though. I mean, they move you to the next level,
Fox should have used ass instead of butt.
Just something. Oh, well. Something.
Well, anyway, third season, still going strong. Jesus, what a success! It was a show that now just stop me if I'm wrong. Came out of the gates pretty good. Then there was a little question like, where's this show going? And then back, it's not going to hell.
A lot of promo. They moved us Monday night. We got successful.
Right,
they moved
us
Tuesday. We built an audience. Got successful. They
move
moved us to Wednesday at 9:30. And I think their plan is to slowly kill the show off over 5 years. We'll make syndication. I won't be able to renegotiate because they'll go, hey, look, what happened? You got no numbers. But please. So it's I don't know. We're on 9:30 after Bernie Mac now, Wednesdays now. And holding on by our fingertips, frankly. I like you keep saying hit show. Keep saying that.
What?
Keep saying hit show.
Yeah, hit show. Hit show. Look,
if that isn't a hit show, what the hell is?
Any show that is on is a hit show, and it's past its first season.
Right.
Yeah. I will say that about
episodes.
This town.
We get some stuff about Tommy's. We find out why Tommy's not gay, although the character on the show, everybody thinks he is. We come out to find out that his dad is. His dad finally comes out, and that's why he was raised by this effeminate guy. You're yawning. What is that? I only talk about my show.
His
move
voice.
On. Let's talk
his
about someone's
voice.
Penis right now. Just get the phone. Let's get to someone's penis.
These comedians are very sensitive. I'm just tired. But Adam, yeah, it's his voice that makes me yawn. But Stacey Keach, how's he doing?
He's brilliant. He's not, like, once again, still off the drugs and the coke, which is good.
Yeah.
Not drinking. We had David Carradine on the show, actually. For Christmas episode, we burned down a houseboat and sink it.
Very good times.
The Christmas present is basically, Titus's Christmas present to Aaron is to get Dad isolated so she could force Christmas down his throat because he hates Christmas. And what ends up happening is he's out there with his buddy David Carradine and they're puking and throwing up and we try to... So we actually make Dad believe that he killed his best friend so he can actually get the Christmas spirit.
I love it when something on water burns.
Me too.
I find it ironic but compelling and kind of humorous at the same time.
Why?
You know, once in a while that happens. Stuff in the middle of the ocean catches on fire. Yeah,
just
cruise ship or something.
React,
I just find it bizarre that something that's afloat is on fire.
Something on water is fire.
Yes.
I see the irony.
And the relaxing part is you can watch it because you know nothing really is going to go wrong. It's just going to burn to the water and it's going to go out.
I see. It's not like
it's going to catch the next house on fire. The next boat, it's going to spread to boat to boat. The whole ocean's going to be burning.
Sort of like
you can watch it. You can sit back, get a Coke, watch the whole thing
burn. Why you find it funny when I get ill.
Right. When a doctor gets sick.
That's hysterical.
Hysterical.
I laugh endlessly at that. Yes.
It is ironic and
You should know, though. So you should know.
No, I don't laugh very much.
All right. We'll take ourselves some calls and speak to Manuel.
Manuel. I wanted to call to say that I've been with this girl for a year and a half.
Mm.
And
just a guess.
2 weeks ago, she has basketball practice, and after basketball practice, I just stopped by there, and I started kissing one of her best friends.
You started that?
Yeah.
Oh,
you start kissing one of her best friends?
No, she did.
Oh, she did.
Yeah, but I just made it as a sissy and just ran, or not run, but I didn't say anything.
You mean they were sort of kissing as friends, or they were making out?
They were making out.
And this was, you saw them, the locker room? Where did you see them exactly?
No, kind of outside of the gym.
And didn't she expect to see you there?
No, I don't think she saw me.
No, but wasn't she expecting that after practice you would kind of...
No, is that I have drama practice?
Drama practice?
All right, okay, whatever it is, he's getting good specifics. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's good.
That's all right.
What are you guys doing? Are you doing a play right now?
Yeah.
What play?
We did already. It was called A Brave Look at Terror.
Brave Look at Terror?
A Brave Look at Terror.
Uh-huh. And what'd you play, a tree or a rock?
Both. No, it was...
you can't make up titles.
That's
like
range.
That.
Okay.
It was about the September 11th thing, Students Response.
Really?
Are you doing plays about that? Wow.
Nice.
It was in...
freaked out about doing a joke about it on the show, man. Wow. Jeez,
we were doing plays about Lincoln and stuff when I was in
amazing.
High school. You guys you're doing stuff that happened 3 weeks ago. All right, so you saw her making out. Uh-huh. Well, maybe the chick had a good game, and that was just her way of saying.
And was it porno makeout, or was it like 1 a.m. Cinemax movie makeout?
I don't know. It was just a makeout,
How's the relationship been going between you and she?
Well, is that when I saw it, I just couldn't believe it.
But before that, how was the relationship going?
Of us?
Yeah.
It was going great.
Great. How long have you been dating her?
Yeah, it's been good.
How long have you been dating her?
Oh, how long? A year and a half.
Year and a half.
Man, he's no good when he gets off script.
Yeah.
You know what
I know.
Hey, Emmanuel?
Yeah?
Why don't you just ask her about it?
But
what?
I don't know. I think I'll feel weird or something.
Well, you didn't do anything wrong. But tell her somebody told you.
Don't you think I should break up with her? Or just,
all right, break up with her.
Yeah, that's what I think you should do right now.
Yeah.
Call her after you hang up.
I think if this is true, which there's a certain edge of certain stench of bogosity here in this call.
It's been good.
Yeah. Go talk to her about it. Give her a chance to explain what's going on and find out what the hell's up with your relationship with her. That's all. Very simple.
Okay. I was thinking shop all the way with this kid. I was not thinking drama class.
No, not drama class. Surprising.
Not at all.
But then again, no matter what, if you were a football player and they said, we're going to do Look Back at Terror, and you knew what it was about, you'd be like, hey, I'm in.
Yeah, I'm in. Yeah, I'll play Firefire. Yeah. Well, he hung up because we got rid of him, Drew.
It's been good.
Very suspicious, Drew. We hung up on the guy 10 minutes ago. DJ?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you're 24. What's up?
Well, I'm involved with a girl, or I was involved with a girl that I met while I was at work it was almost a year ago. She and I got involved. She had another boyfriend that was living in the state where she had originally been born and raised and stuff like that. And he didn't know what was going on between her and I at the time. Guilty conscience, whatever the situation was, she told him. So he basically gave her an ultimatum and left me out to dangle in the dust. I was kind of left out. Is you can't see him, you can't talk to him or anything like that.
Okay, hold on a second. I'm just thinking, like, this is a game shot. Go pass.
Yeah,
go to the next question.
Yeah, next question. pass. Well, I said two sentences. That is the worst storytelling I've ever heard in my entire life.
I didn't know what he was saying. Yeah, I looked down.
Two people that actually had no grasp of the English language, frankly.
I didn't know it was. I looked down at Christopher's bio, and I was reading he had a half pipe in his backyard. And I looked back up again, and I didn't know where I was. Where were we?
He threw in so much detail that was motivated from a place that he expected us sort of a priori to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Details about how he was left out in the cold and about guilt and about what was motivating the various players here that were irrelevant to us.
All right.
We just needed to know the facts. Just what is the history here?
So what do you want to do?
Do you want to try to resurrect
clarify
this?
The question?
All right,
let's give him two sentences for you know to
all right.
One
sorry,
for the street,
DJ.
One for question.
I wasn't listening. Let's condense and clarify.
Media,
here we go.
Media class, right now. Get that idea.
Yeah, here we go. This is what media training is about.
Media training, right pal.
Clarify the message.
She and I have recently started talking again.
Okay, and let me make sure I got the history straight. You dated a girl who had a boyfriend. She told him about
the state.
Whatever. This is the whatever part.
All right, here's where you're getting the low marks here.
He found out. She told him. He said, make a choice. She chose him.
Right.
That's all we needed to know, okay?
All right.
Where they were living, what their zip code was, all that stuff. I know it's important to you. Not important to us.
Okay.
My bad.
So now, that's fine. So now she chose him.
Well, and then they broke up.
Okay. How long have they been broken up?
Several months now. About
okay.
Months.
So it would be kind of natural that you guys might get back together. Maybe this is a chance for this relationship.
Well, and see, that's the thing, is after having discussed it, she wants to kind of play the friend's angle.
Well, listen, you've been playing the friend angle, right?
Well, yeah, but my problem is I want more to happen. And
no, I understand, but you've been waiting patiently as the friend, waiting for this moment to pounce, and here you are.
She's not really interested in DJ.
She may not be interested, or there is a slight chance that she is just not ready because she's just coming out of a relationship. That she had
no.
Yeah,
she
happens. No
woman. She had a shot at him a while back. She chose another guy instead. Then they broke up. She was in a bad place. She thought about it for a heartbeat. And when she's just not that interested in DJ.
Right.
So DJ,
yes, sir.
Here's basically what you're doing, and it works sometimes. I know Christopher loves cars, so I'll work that angle.
Thank you.
Sometimes a car rolls off the showroom that you're out of the factory that you're really in love with. You just can't afford it. So you got to wait for it to put on a few miles, get a little rust, maybe go from one owner to the next owner to the next owner. And then eventually you slide in because you can get a good deal on it because it's got a couple dings in it. It's got a few miles on
it.
That's right. Now, what happens is she came out of the factory. He was into her, went to the first owner. Still didn't drop enough.
I see.
The blue book was still a little too high.
Needs another owner.
This guy only had her for a year and a half, only put a few miles on her, and she still got pretty good resale value.
Okay.
Not low enough for DJ yet.
I see.
She can go to a few more owners. Hopefully, she gets pregnant or something or loses a limb somewhere in there.
Or something. Yeah.
Yeah, that's like being totaled out or being driven into a lake or something.
That's right. She'll pick the wrong guy, get some sort of deformity, man. Yeah. Boom, she's right in your league.
But there's,
right. That's what you're saying. I get what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying. She loses a limb to tuberculosis or something. All of a sudden, the price is right.
This is another corollary to your numbers theory.
Yeah.
It's another way of looking at it.
She's 22, 23, probably cute, riding high. We've all done this. I know Drew doesn't like talking about this on the air, but we have all, as a guy, it's one of the greatest things you can do, especially as you go on in your career, if you make a few more bucks and you get a few nice toys and things like that. You will eventually run into some chick that you were hot for just out of high school or maybe in high school. Mm-hmm. Or in my case, up until I was like 29 and a half, because I still was living with a bunch of roommates and doing nothing. They didn't give you the time of day, but now you see them 6, 7, 8 years later, things are going a little better for you. They got a couple miles on him, and the worm has turned. Do you see what I'm saying?
You want a great story about this?
Yeah.
Had a girl that I dated. Her father took me aside once and said, you're going to be a stand-up comic. 2% of people in show business make it. You're done. You can't see my daughter anymore. Boom, she broke up with me.
Oh.
I get a letter like at my office at the studio.
When was this?
Like 3 weeks ago.
Oh.
Basically from a friend says, yeah, Lynn would like to talk to you. Maybe be on your show. Maybe you could like... I was like, yeah. Oh. I showed my wife. I was like, ah. There is a joy. I got to admit, there is a joy. enjoyed it.
Give us more detail. What was it? What did her dad do? Where was
her dad owned a company, you know, like a copy machine company, and like he was just a big shot guy. And he said, "I was stupid. He goes, you're throwing your life away." And you know, I thought about that when I was driving my Viper. Hello.
Yeah. Don't you want to go to the next level? The one that Adam does, go tell him to kiss your ass.
Yeah, get drunk and start yelling for everyone to kiss your ass and pounding your fist on a console. It's great. It's a great feeling. And once in a while, what happens is when they're on the way down and you're on the way up, you cross.
Right.
And you can date for a while as long as you're crossing. But if you let too much time go by and they're too low, or you're still, or they're still too high and you're too low, however it goes, it's not going to work. I would bet you, DJ, all you can do right now is work on your own ass.
It really isn't.
Forget about her.
The economic theory of human relations, isn't it?
Yeah. Supply and demand.
Some sit-ups will help.
Yeah, a couple sit-ups and a good
DJ,
gig.
The reality is, blow her off, man. A lot of chicks want to hold on to that one guy. My brother just had this happen for a year. It took him 14 months to get over this girl.
Oof.
And she, and basically what she's doing right now, man, she's hanging on to you because she knows that whatever guy dicks her over, she can go right to you.
That's right.
And you can pick up the pieces and you can smooth the rough edges. And then she's going to go, oh, we're just friends. She's going to move on, man.
Right.
Blow her off. You know, get some, a little bit in your price range. Get some finance and do what you can.
You become like some sort of MASH unit. You put them back together, give them a few days rest. Get some plasma in them, and then send them back out again.
Exactly.
All right, let's talk to Casey, who's 17. Casey?
Hey, how are we doing?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm all right, how are you?
Good.
That's good. Okay, I'm just going to give you the facts, okay?
Uh-huh.
All right. Okay, today, my girlfriend and I, for the first time we had sex, I wore a condom, and we didn't go all the way because she said it was too sore for her, so I quit. I'm not certain if I came or not. I'm not sure how I'm...
Wait a second.
That's certain.
You had a condom on.
I had a condom on.
And when males have a condom on a receptacle there,
yeah,
there is usually evidence
confetti
of
confetti.
At the end, you know, I knew it was there, but like during the whole thing, I couldn't tell.
You weren't sure if there was something coming out of you.
Yeah.
When you were inside.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah.
And so I'm just wondering, you know, what are the chances of her getting pregnant?
Well, you had the condom on, right?
Yeah.
Zero.
So about 50%. No, it's
zero.
Zero. You had the condom on.
Condom worked. Condom didn't fail.
Okay.
Condoms break or come off. That's how they fail.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole point of the condom is to retain the sperm
so
they don't get pregnant.
Christopher
isn't
makes
that on
a very
the back? Is that on the package?
Should be.
He's an idiot.
Oh, I see.
You need
that extra description of where the sperm goes.
It just seems odd that you would find some sexual aid that actually took the feeling away and put that on. It does stop pregnancy.
Right. Right, it's not for
me. Am I jumping it, Dr. Drew?
Well, I don't want to. I'm not saying you're wrong, but for me, I like the extra width I get out of it. I get about 25-30% more width out of my penis.
And if you double triple them up, you get a lot more longer. You can go longer.
Well, what I'll do is I'll take the extra 3-4 inches at the end and double it back over, like some guys wear
hold
their
it
socks.
Back. Yeah, yeah. Hold it back. Good. Why don't you discuss a little bit too the guys that don't like to wear condoms or who lose the erection with condom? What's your solution is?
Boy, kill yourself.
After that. Before
oh,
that. Before
oh,
that.
Oh, yeah. You mean to practice putting
drill.
It on?
Fire drill.
I know this sounds retarded. Like many of my ideas, such as the venereal sniffing dogs and things like that, are all sound retarded. But this one, I think, makes sense. If you have difficulty getting the condom on and you have trouble in that little interim between the time it's time to put the condom on, the time you're going to have sex, and a lot of guys lose it in that period and they're not used to it. I mean, if you think about most squirrely 17-year-olds, you put a condom on twice a year. You got a couple of Mickey's Big Mouths in you. The only thing going in the room is like a strobe light, and your focus is all off.
Right.
You need to grab a handful of condoms and practice putting them on alone. I know it sounds ridiculous, but why not? You can get a handful of them at Planned Parenthood or wherever you go. Probably video stores. Every place has them now. Just grab a handful in the fishbowl on the way out and burn a few of them when you're alone.
And also do scenarios, too, because, you know, pretend you're at your buddy's house at a party and his parents could be home at any moment. You got to have this scenarios on top of it.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
You
a little bit of stress.
Yeah. That's what
practice
I
condoms. That's good. You know,
earthquakes, things like that would be very
useful.
Think
of it as a screw-in special forces.
Right.
Some sort of like that.
Yes.
You become like a Navy SEAL under any pressure, boom. Get it done.
That's a good point. You get one of your buddies, stand outside the door and start banging on it.
You know, I see a new product here, the Delta condom. Delta Force,
right?
With the bullseye on the
you do a whole training
sure.
thing. Yeah, you get to the point where
light vision.
You can hear a shotgun pump and still squeeze one off.
And still pump, basically.
Still, yeah,
there
still,
you go. That's the ad.
Confident.
That's the ad campaign, frankly.
Yeah.
It is true, because these guys are fumbling around. They're all distracted. They're freaked out. You just get your penis used to that condom. And the condom takes a little to figure
it
out.
It would
sometimes
also make you look a lot cooler to the woman, guys. This is the, although Adam is joking, and very funny, Adam, may I add.
Oh, thanks.
But if you also
but,
got...
But
if
you need
got,
a brain vacation.
If you got, yeah. If you got smooth with it, that would impress chicks, too.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
Well, the idea is not to
my
break
wife laughed
the rhythm,
a lot.
Not to break. Oh.
At the beginning, we've been together 15 years now. At the beginning, she was like, "What are you doing? You can't give me that." And she handled it.
Right.
I didn't think any further than that.
No, it's true when it's dark,
too. You didn't lose your erection right at that point when she laughed at you?
No. He was just happy to have sex. Exactly.
Well, plus, he's a comedian.
I had a beautiful woman playing with my private areas, and I don't lose erections at that point.
And he appreciates a laugh. Joel?
Hey, what's up?
You're 32.
Adam, you're
hi,
a god.
Hi-hat in his room.
Thank you.
You really are.
What's up?
I tried to call in last night, but I didn't get through. You guys were talking about how long you wait when a girl tells you she'll give you a certain thing at a certain point.
Oh, yeah. Remember this, the other woman?
Yeah, someone was calling in last night saying they offered they promised a BJ to their boyfriend at the 9-month mark of the relationship.
Right.
I would involve myself in another relationship for 8.5 months and then come back.
And there's another girl that said she waited 3 months. Remember that?
Right.
Wow.
And I don't know if this is just the game that they come up with, but I got this girlfriend who everything is good about her, except she doesn't lubricate well, and she won't let me go down on her.
Hmm. Does she have a zert fitting?
Yeah,
some sort of...
Little car humor for Christopher over there.
Brass instead of chrome, yeah.
So she doesn't lubricate well, and what else?
And she won't let me go down on her.
Let's get into this after the break.
She put off the Christmas thing to this. She said, oh, at Christmas time.
You'll be able to actually have oral sex.
How old is she?
She's 34.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Hold on.
This needs some dissection.
Hold on a second, Joel.
Yeah.
All right.
This may not be good, by the way, so just... I see someone who's been victimized here.
It's either that... it's some...
Someone
who's
been burned,
a little energy,
sure.
But it may be someone who just wants to... Who does care and wants to take it systematically. Wants to make sure the relationship's going.
34-year-old women do not stop guys from going down on them. They could be at Wimbledon, they would let a guy go down on them.
We need some dissection.
Okay. Christopher Titus is our guest. Titus. I was trying to think of a well-lit sort of regal
level
place.
Level surface. A well-lit level surface.
Yeah. Titus on Wednesday nights, 9:30 on Fox. We'll take a little break and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Who's that? Oobastank? Is that them?
No.
Oh, Jimmy Eat World. Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's my theme. I forgot who sung my theme song. Christopher Titus is our guest tonight from Titus.
Morning.
9:30 Wednesday nights on Fox. And Drew, ready to keep it going here?
We were talking to Joel.
Right.
Girlfriend, 34. He's 32.
Right.
She was waiting until Christmas before further action.
Right. Where? Oh, there they were. Yeah. I'm a little lost here.
Yeah,
Joel?
No kidding.
Yeah, right here.
All right. So, 34. How long have you been with her?
5 months.
And in that 5 months, you have not gone down on her?
I've tried, and she says, no, she can't do it.
That's too intimate.
Yeah, but, I mean, everything else is, like, wide open with her.
Right. Okay, but then some women have certain things that are especially intimate to them.
What's up with her? Does she have any kids? Was she married?
Yes.
Screwed over?
And she has, like, a history of... You know, she was molested.
That's true.
No, he called it. Adam called it.
Oh, did you? Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
Did
you score sheet on?
No, when people hear factual information come from the show, they attribute it to Drew immediately. But I mean, a 34-year-old woman who doesn't want to be gone down upon.
Yeah, it easily reflects.
So there's issues there. Is she working on any of these things, Joel?
No, not really.
Mm. All right.
Now, you know, you know, like I say, everything else between us is really good, and I'm.
So he gets the sex, so he's not concerned with her emotional health.
No, I mean,
everything's fine. It's
everything else about her, I'm really happy with, and you know, we get along, and
Right, but I mean, this, you know, someone who was molested like she was, right? Did her dad do this?
No, it was a friend of the family.
Of the family. This is a close friend of the family, I'm sure.
Uncle somebody.
And this kind of thing is. this leaves scars that go on. They don't go away and unless you work on them. And if she's not going to work on them, and you as her partner, you're going to be in for a tough row to hoe with this woman.
Right.
So you can, you know, you got two choices. I mean, if you think you're going to be in for the long haul and sort of become a father figure to the kids and all that kind of stuff, you got to encourage her to get a little help.
Yep, I agree. And don't worry about these specific sexual acts.
How old are the kids?
13 and 14.
How are they doing?
They're good. I mean, well-adjusted and, you know.
Hmm. And what's up with you? Have you ever been married?
No.
No kids yourself?
No.
You sure you this project may be a little big for you?
Yeah, you know, I thought that going in, but then things kind of went good real quick, you know.
He's 5 months in, so not a newcomer to this.
Yeah. All right.
My question is that, have you talked to her about this at all? Is it because of the molestation that she's not letting you do this?
No, just, I don't know. She kind of blows it off when we kind of go that, when I, you know, start that, and then, you know, I mean, you know, that's usually in the heat of passion and everything else heats up after that, you know.
So, yeah. You don't really want to know, though.
It might interrupt the sex he is getting. So.
Yes. Right.
So you're fine after she grabs your head and throws you off the bed, and then you go back to whatever you can get away with. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you how I treat oral sex with a woman. I treat the same way I treat a check when I go out to eat with a few guys, which is I reach for it, and if somebody says, no, I got it, I go, it's all yours, buddy. now start blowing. Yeah, but I'll make that first move, but I'm not going to fight the guy over the $45 check, you know, let him pick it up. But you should make the move. And I think a lot of guys will do this. They'll go, you want some of this? No, thanks. Oh, all right, fine. We'll get back to humping.
But now you're actually emotionally involved and you're actually concerned about it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm not going out to dinner with you, Adam.
Well, I'll make that first move. All you got to do is not move.
There you go.
We're good.
Then he complains like a son of a bitch.
It's it's the same way at the four-way stop sign, which is I'll give the guy the go-ahead, and if he gives me the go-ahead, I'm gone. Right. I don't get into that bidding war with the guy. No, you go. No, you go. Then you both inch out and stop.
Then you get mad. Then it's like, well, get out. Then you want to fight the guy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You told me to go.
Courteous son of a bitch. I'll kick your ass.
There you go.
Heather?
Hi.
Hey, you're 28. What's up?
I was just wondering if Dr. Drew had heard anything about drug use causing birth defects.
Sure.
In like little boys' genitals.
Well, something called ambiguous genitalia is not an uncommon thing in birth defects.
My sister has two little boys, and both of them have been born with defects. The first son, and I know this isn't terribly uncommon, his testicles were not descended, but what they were actually concerned with was his, I think his pituitary gland does not function correctly. His penis was extremely, extremely small, and he's on growth hormone because apparently he wouldn't necessarily grow at the normal rate.
Hmm.
But, and you know, you think, okay, that must be a fluke, and what have you, but then she just had another son in August, and his penis seemed normal size, but I don't have any little boys, so I really don't know, but it did seem normal size, but the
texture was a little off?
No. That where the...
went to the left? Out,
the pee does not come out.
It had an acidic taste?
Yeah. The
pee comes off another direction.
All right. All right. So he's got a phimosis. So non-descended testes and phimosis are probably the two most common disorders that young boys get. And they could easily be random. I mean, those are extremely common.
It's not
amongst the genital abnormalities in males.
You don't think it's a drug related? My mom did. She was hooked on something called small. When I was, you know,
I thought it was cock no more.
When she was pregnant with me. Well, Anderson, I'm not allowed to say that.
Penis no more.
Okay. All right. Sorry. Hey, Heather.
Yes.
You know a lot about your nephew's penis.
Well, I have babysat them, but I really don't
much.
But right. Just discussing it with my sister.
Well, here's
somebody
the deal.
Mentioned it the other day, like that might be related.
Well,
to
what drugs?
What was she doing? What drugs?
No, she doesn't do any drugs at all. In fact, she's adamantly against drugs.
What are you referring to then? You open up the conversation.
No. I meant that we just... Obviously, she's concerned because she feels like her sons are going to have a lesser quality life, that they might not be able to...
The phimosis is going to be a zero. That's going to be nothing. The non-descendant testes, they're going to have to bring him down, and they may have to be supplemented if he has some damage to the testes. The pituitary thing that you're talking about is interesting, but that's the thing that's the major thing here. I don't know what that is.
All right, Heather.
Why did you bring up drugs?
You know what this is like? It's like saying, I'm worried about the social implications of a mulatto child being brought up in this world, and what the school board and the kids would say when the mixed couple showed up, and it's like, oh, is your family? No.
I live in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. It's all white guys. Everybody.
Just writing a paper. where did the drug stuff come in?
That's what I wanted to know.
All right. Heather.
Am I back on?
Yeah, where did the drug stuff come
in? Why did you bring up drugs?
Oh, somebody said something a few weeks ago, like, well, does her husband do drugs? Because that they had heard that there was a medical study indicating a link. And I blew it off, and I was like, oh, no, not at all.
Does he do drugs?
No, he doesn't. But then I remember my brother, too, that I am aware of.
Oh, my God.
Hold on, is this Green Acres we're in? Where are we?
I've never done drugs, and I'm a little naive to the fact that anybody would.
He could have done drugs.
He may, because you start recalling things later. It's like, well, wait a minute. He was talking about one of his really good friends from work and how they do drugs. And then I remember my brother saying years ago that he knew that at one point this my brother-in-law did do drugs.
All right.
I do actually have another question.
No, Heather. No, you can't. You spend too much time talking about drug addicts that never were. You squandered that.
No. I don't want to talk about drugs. I want to ask another question.
All right, go.
Okay, I was at the grocery store with my husband the other day, and he was putting our baby on the carousel. And he highly respects Adam and his opinion to this, and I asked him to please stop putting the baby on the carousel because it is a safety issue.
At the supermarket?
One. Yes, and two, that I feel like if you allow a child to continue doing a behavior, you're showing them it's okay.
Right.
Then when they're 4 or 5 and they're crawling up there and you're mad at them and going, what the hell are you thinking?
What's a carousel?
Crawling up there.
What's a carousel?
It's a
Heather's, a Rubik's Cube.
You know something? I got a half pipe in my backyard.
And I said, well, I don't... Yeah, he said that I need to lighten up.
What's a carousel?
I don't think that you should...
The thing at the supermarket that takes the food down
the
to
conveyor?
The conveyor belt thing?
Yes, he's putting the kid on it and letting.
All right, that's a conveyor belt. The carousel's at the airport.
Okay, I'm sorry. Conveyor belt. Putting the baby on the conveyor belt.
Right.
Rolls up there. As she gets closer, he picks her up, puts her back, and I said, I don't think that's very safe, for one. And secondly, I think it's teaching a child that it's okay to misbehave like that in public. Yeah. And then when they get older, you're going to scold them for doing
this. This is an important question. Has your child been potty trained yet?
I'm sorry, what?
Has your child been potty trained yet?
No.
Okay, you're going to have to really lay off when the potty training comes around, okay?
Really? Why? Yeah,
because she's going to be convinced that this child's going to be pulling in his pants when he's 16. She's going to insist that he get his potty training under control now. I mean, husband puts her on a conveyor belt and lets her goof around.
Right.
That is not a volitional behavior part of the child towards some evil doing.
Well, and listen, the conveyor belt misconduct is going to pale in comparison to the kid's goth and eating disordered life.
That's why I'm telling her about
right.
The,
yeah,
and the die mom die written in the in her room in her own blood. Lighten up, mom.
She needs to lighten up. Lighten up.
Yeah. He is throwing, he put the child on his shoulders the other day.
No.
Just sending a message to the child that it's okay to ride upon adults.
She's
as
just
a form
jump,
of transportation.
She's just going to be jumping adults. She's just jumping on people's shoulders. How are you going to control the kid like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, jumping on strangers, yelling mush. Thinking that is a reliable form of transportation. Hitting her head on door jams. Lighten up, baby. All the drugs and the conveyor belts. Carousel. Rich?
Yes.
Hey, you're 30. What's going on?
Hey, yeah. I had a question for Dr. Drew, actually. I have to take a drug test. And last weekend, I did several different drugs.
Last weekend?
Last weekend, as in a couple days ago.
Okay. When is the drug test?
In about a month.
Oh,
You're fine.
Whatever they are, forget.
Well, he wants to know when he has to stop.
My question was, I've been smoking pot for probably about the last 5 years, kind of on a daily basis.
That needs to stop now.
Right.
What are you going for?
A urine test.
No, what's the job?
What's the job?
See, this is, by the way, you know when people go, I swear the pot doesn't affect
me? Exactly. Don't take the written or the interview. Take the
All right, so what's the job you're trying to secure?
It's for a driving job.
What kind of driving?
Livery.
Livery. These are the guys that drive.
Oh, the limo driver?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, something like that.
I picture him in a town car, kind of stoned out of his mind, got the job, then he started again.
You smoke until the day before you take the test.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I say. I say smoke the day. You know why? It'll mellow you out. You can do better on the test.
Right. Be able to focus.
That's what I'm saying.
You're at your best when you're baked, Rich. No, Rich, listen. Here's the deal, Rich. You sound like an intelligent guy.
But you're a marijuana addict.
But yet, you're 30 years old, and you're trying to get a gig driving a town car. Do you know what I mean? That means life has probably not worked out according to plan.
We're opening up our own business, so that's the deal there.
Listen, if you're running your own business,
you aren't doing drug testing.
You're worried about passing a drug test.
That's a guy who wants a lot of pot. That's opening his own business, going to test himself.
That's marijuana addiction. and what Adam is trying to get you to do is motivate you to deal with that first.
Well, Rich, this will be a good time for you to back off on the weed.
Exactly.
All right.
I'm using this as an opportunity.
Good. Do that. Go to MA. And get off the weed, and then you'll take your test in 2 months, and everything will come out great, and you'll have a wonderful life driving around owning your own business. Mm-hmm. All right, we will take ourselves a little break. Christopher Titus is our guest tonight from Titus on Fox, Wednesday nights, 9:30, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Christopher Titus is our guest tonight. He stars in
afternoon
the show with his own name, which you've arrived. Big billboard up, I see, in
Adam,
Studio
that's
City.
Better than being on someone's tennis shoes.
Yeah, it's better than having your name written on tennis shoes. 9:30, Wednesday night on Fox. And I like Chris because, you stop me if I'm wrong, but I'm guessing you're one of these guys, you wanted money and want to make some money, not so you could get laid or do a bunch of blow, but so you could buy cars.
That's right, buy hot cars and actually get my drag racing license. I actually raced at the World Finals last weekend. Yeah.
What'd you race?
I had to race a DJ, you know, and I can let me on the track, like with the top fuelers. I got some friends that actually race top fuelers, so I raced Super Compa, 175-mile-an-hour dragster, but I raced the DJ. So we were like the wheelie car, you know. The drag racers have the wheelie car, they got to jump something while they're waiting for the big rounds to happen. I was like the wheelie car guy. Christopher Titus and Big Joe Benson.
You were actually in a drag.
Uncle Joe.
Uncle Joe Benson, man, smoked him, stomped
him. You were in a dragster, not a funny car.
Yeah, I got a license. I actually have an interstate competition license signed by Shirley Muldowney and Don Garlitz.
Oh, my God.
Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney and Big Daddy Don Garlitz.
Yeah.
Some go, some blow! I miss drag racing, and I miss the commercials where they go, they'll all be there. The Texan, Billy McEwen, TV, Tommy Ivor, Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney. Big Daddy says he's taking that trophy on this year. Shirley's got other ideas.
The snake, Don Perdomo.
The snake. And then some crazy, wheeling Pope-mobile.
Yeah, exactly. The Pope in the back waving as he's wheeling. The waving wheelier.
That's right.
He won't even lose his hat.
Wheel pound and ground, stop in action, I'll blow your socks up. Yeah, and let me qualification during the day. Eliminations on the lights. And it really gets good when they start weaving in the other stuff. Papa do run on the infield, singing all your favorites.
Sha na na, they're 80 and they still rock.
English leather girls will be there, fellas, signing autographs when they get there early. Fox night too. Come on down, Fox is free. I always wanted that job of the guy who would, Fox, ugly hoe. Sorry. No, you're not. Honey, when's the last time you looked in the mirror? You're not a fox. You're paying full price.
Now, the reality is that you just ripped on basically a sport I love, but that's great. And Tony Schumacher's a friend of mine. He's actually went 333 miles an hour is now the record in the quarter mile. And these guys are amazing. What they have to do is pretty amazing.
I'll tell you, I was down at the Summer Nationals last year and this year. Yeah, in Pomona. Right. Oh, just going through the pits. They're going to close those things down eventually because they're just blowing a nitro everywhere, and it's deafening and it's crazy. But here's the thing. Here's what I always say about drag racing that freaks people out. you picture the most exotic car you can imagine, whether it's a Viper, whether it's a twin turbo Porsche, whether it's a Ferrari 360, whatever the most exotic $200,000-$300,000 supercar that is on the road, and you gas it up and dump that clutch and use the Formula One style paddle shifter on the wheel, and you'll do 0 to 60 in 4 seconds if it's amongst the super exotic.
Right.
In that same time period, the dragster's going 300.
Yeah. In Top Fuel. Yeah. And Funny Car too.
That is freakish because it's not like the twin turbo Porsche is a dog.
Yeah, right.
Do you know what I mean? In the time that it takes the twin turbo Porsche to get up to 72 miles an hour from standing still, the dragster is going 320.
Yep.
That's not crazy because 100 would be hairy.
Right.
200 would be amazing because if you sat in the passenger seat of a Porsche while the guy revved the clutch and dumped it and laid rubber to 70 miles an hour, you'd say, geez, that's a thrill ride.
Right.
But to be up over 300 in that same time period is mind-boggling.
That's what's great about our country. Is that, you know, no one ever invaded our country because we build that kind of stuff for fun. Piss us off and see what we build. Yeah, we'll build a car go 0 to 300 like that. Yeah, make us mad.
You want to know make us mad? Go down and watch one of these specials on the Salt Flats. These guys are like
air shows.
These Salt Flat guys are like, well, we took a three-wheel Harley. It was a trike. It was three-wheel. And then we took two blown big block Mopars in there. And we're trying to get the record for rear-end driven. It's 435 is the record.
Right.
We're going to see if we can get up to 450.
No,
these guys have got helicopter engines,
right,
turbine engines and
stuff.
But
Leno's got
there.
A bike with a helicopter engine in it. Leno's got a bike with a helicopter engine. He told me that he was pulling up he was in front of a guy at a stoplight, and it's a helicopter. It's like an old Vietnam helicopter turbine, and he melted the guy's bumper behind him. Saw it in the rear view because I got pulled up real close. The exhaust, 1,200-degree exhaust, started melting the bumper on the guy's car, and Leno just took off.
Yeah.
Hey, that doesn't look good.
I've done that, but only with my own gas. Never with an actual vehicle.
Well, that was me.
Mainly upholstery.
Was melting. My soul was
melting. The frames on Drew's glasses came apart, right?
Now, supposedly there was a guy at Bonneville that actually bought a surplus rocket engine, bolted it to a station wagon, I don't know if it's an urban legend, and actually went across the Salt Flats, not when they were supposed to be, like in midsummer, and hit it. The rocket just keeps going. He has no control over it. They lit it off. Guy drove the car, and he hit a mountain eventually.
Yeah.
Wow. Disintegrated them.
Well, interesting we're talking about automobiles. Jay.
Hello?
Hi, Jay. What's up?
My name's Jack, not Jay.
Hi, Jack. What's going on?
Yeah, Saturday night, three of my friends died. The three girls, the 14-year-old girls that were in the back of that car.
Hey, Jack, can you turn your radio down?
My radio's in my bedroom.
Well, we're hearing it blaring in the background.
All right, hold on.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, boy.
I'm going to save the normal Jackass stuff because of what went on with his three friends. Jack?
Hello?
You all right there?
Yeah.
All right. So how old are you?
18.
And you, three people died in a car crash?
Yeah, Saturday night. And I was.
What happened?
Well, they left with this guy named Mike. He's on trial right now for 2 counts of rape.
Oh, boy.
And he says that he got knocked out and somebody took the keys to his cars and killed the people that were in the car. But that's just a bunch of bull.
So it wasn't even a car accident. It was some kind of murder?
Yeah. See, they was doing like 115 on 7th Standard Road and hit the dirt shoulder.
Well, so there was a car accident. Okay.
And lost control of the car and ran into a telephone pole or something like that. And the telephone pole trapped everybody but the driver in the car.
Is that out in Chatsworth or Simi Valley?
7th Standard's in Oildale.
In where?
Oildale, I'm pretty sure.
Word straight.
Didn't you say Santa Susana Road?
No, 7th Standard.
7th Standard.
Oh, okay.
All right. What state are you calling from?
Oildale.
What state are you calling from?
California.
All right.
So, what do you need?
Well, everybody that I know listens to your guys' radio, Loveline and stuff. So, I was just letting them know that there's a car wash for the girls that died on the corner of Roberts Lane Airport Drive.
What are you going to raise the money for?
Their funerals.
What? They need money raised for the funerals.
What city is that?
It's Bakersfield.
Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, please, Anders, I'm not going to make fun of Bakersfield during their time of need. This is going to take place where? What time?
Airport Drive and Roberts Lane at the Yum Yum Donut.
What time? What day?
I don't know yet.
Oh, Jack.
They just died yesterday. They said they was holding a car wash either tomorrow or the day after.
So what, would you call Yum Yums to find out?
I haven't yet. My friend's supposed to be doing that.
All right. Jack. We want to help, but you got to figure out what day it's going to be on before we tell everybody about it, right?
All right.
Well, I mean, do you think it's going to be tomorrow?
It could be tomorrow or the day after.
Well, why don't you do both? That way you raise more money for them.
Yeah, do both days.
All right.
What time should people go by there?
Well, the girls are supposed to be going down there like at 8 o'clock and stay there until school's out.
In the morning?
Yeah.
Okay.
The girls who are going to be washing the cars?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Were these friends of yours?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry for your loss, Jack. And give the cross street one more time in the city.
It's in Bakersfield, so Roberts Lane, Airport Drive at the Yum Yum Donuts.
All right.
So you go down there and pay a few bucks, get your car washed, and help pay for the girl's funeral, right?
Yeah.
All right, buddy.
So sorry.
Take care of yourself.
All right, bye.
All right. Anyway, about drag racing?
Yeah, so every town has a place. We actually lost Jim Kane, a good friend of mine. We lost him in high school. Same type of thing, man. Just got crazy. Actually, Jim actually was a good guy. Got out of a car on the freeway to help this lady and her two kids. I was hit by a drunk driver. But we actually went through so many. Like, there's a place called Niles Canyon. Niles Canyon, where I grew up, was basically a place where you got drunk and you drove as fast as you could through
great.
There.
Good
and
times.
Here's my dad. My dad would actually cut out on Sunday. He cut out every article where the kids, three kids got killed. And he'd cut and tape it to my bedroom door. So I'd get up on Sunday, hungover, and open it. Now the Grim Reaper's up. This is good.
Right.
And there'd be like some still story about my friends who...
It's so common. It's awful.
Yeah, it's invincible.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. Christopher Titus is here. And I'll tell you about two friends of mine who burnt up in a Pinto station wagon when they were 18.
Beautiful.
After this.
Such an angry.
Hey, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Drew over there. Love Lines, the show. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Christopher Titus is our guest tonight from Titus on Wednesday nights, Fox 9:30. And who the hell's coming up on this show here?
David Alan Greer.
Oh, David Alan Greer. Oh,
funny man.
That's right. Yeah, he is funny. And and a nice guy. One of my only celebrity friends.
He's really is a dear, dear, dear friend of yours, isn't he?
He's a dear, dear friend, yeah.
The Twinkie hole, baby! Woo!
Alex?
Yeah?
He does a great vomit sound effect, too.
I heard that night. I was listening that night.
I love to get him to vomit when he comes in here, so look forward to that coming up. Who? Alex?
Yeah.
What's up? 31.
Yeah, living in Oregon. Got a question, concern. Dating this wonderful girl for several months now. Having a great time, great relationship, nothing crazy about it. We were hesitant at first about sex just because I think we both wanted to wait. Both jumped in and out too much. It's fine with me. Time came for a deep conversation. Apparently from a monogamous relationship in her past, she had a boyfriend that cheated on her. She has herpes.
Mm-hmm.
I like the way people with herpes have to qualify it. It's not because I was screwing around.
Right.
It's a monogamous relationship.
Right.
It doesn't necessarily freak me out. We've had a good conversation about it. If we're going to have sex, I'm definitely going to protect myself. Obviously, besides abstinence, condom is the best And is that about obviously the only option?
That she can go on medication to decrease the risk of viral shedding. You can make sure that if she has any symptoms at all, that you guys don't have contact.
Well, yeah, she's already taking Valtrex and all that.
Yeah, so there you go. So she's fine. Don't worry about it. If you're going to marry her, what's the big deal anyway? Let's say you get herpes.
Yeah, exactly. That was my point. I'm not concerned about it. If we decide to get married, then that's not a concern. Obviously, that's the person I'm going to be with.
Right.
I guess my concern also is risk with children. If she's pregnant at one point, is this something that passes on to the fetus or the child?
No, not the fetus. But listen, herpes is a common condition. Have you ever heard of childhood pregnancy disasters around herpes? No, you'd hear a lot more about that. If she has a big old outbreak around the time of delivery, they would probably do a C-section. There is some risk during delivery, but they've been seeing more and more that risk is substantially less than
that. How long have you been with her?
It's been only about 3 months. So it's not like...
What base have you gotten to?
We've had sex already.
Oh.
But we've been protected. My concern is that...
He used condom. He was careful. He was saying, what's ahead?
I thought they were talking about waiting or something.
No, they did wait. They had the big talk. He went ahead. Right. Now he's wondering what it all means.
But you're good.
But the child thing, though, it's only like if it gets really bad. They only do a C-section if it gets bad, like if she looks like a sea anemone or something like that, right?
Right, during the outbreak. You would need to see actual tentacles. Or,
right. And then what would happen? And leave like a racing stripe of herpes on the kid?
You could, yeah.
Interesting.
Get in the eyes. That's the other
slime the kid a bit, yeah.
True. They should work some sort of cover. Yeah. You know, some sort of second skin type stuff. Like
you obviously have never seen a delivery.
I have.
Yeah. It's not something. Can you imagine trying to somebody put anything on?
Yeah, let's
put
We need an apron. We need some sort of. No. My wife just gave birth, and actually, it's very vivid in my mind, August 25th, so.
Yeah.
It's pretty vivid.
Did she need you to be there? Did you want to be there?
She said she actually did. They had actually given her
a bunch of morphine, and then she decided that she wanted
And then the doctor
there.
Told her, he said, look, if you don't push, we're going to cut it off. And so I actually just kind of. I did. She actually said without my coaching, it would have taken her. It took her 5 hours. I mean, from the time I come home after taping, the kid waited till after the taping, too. We were taping Friday night, boom, kid waited till like 3 a.m. in the morning Saturday. Thank you, kid.
Right.
So we got the taping done, and I get home, and my wife is literally clutching the bed frame going, ah! And she goes, I think it's false labor. And I said, I don't think it's false labor. Yeah, she's actually up on her fingertips and her toes arching across the bed.
Oh, my God.
I don't think it's false labor. So I called the doctor. He says, well, when the contractions get down to 10 minutes, call me and, start bringing her in. And the next contraction was 5 minutes. So so I get her in the truck. All the way home, she's grabbing the overhead grab handle. And the console above us. And, again, just arched all the way to the it was pretty frightening.
I would be traumatized by that. It's male.
I got to be honest with you. I was trying to hide laughter because she'd be like, because the contractions were coming and going, and so I was like, it's like, okay, all right. And I'm like driving, looking out the window, like, okay, don't laugh. She's going to be really pissed if you laugh. Don't laugh.
Well, women don't know this is the reason why we don't pay attention to half the stuff they say, because we would break out laughing. Like when they go,
it felt bad.
Tammy DiGiacomo from work? Yeah. Well, you know what she said? Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, she said to me, it's not what she said, but it was how she said it. And you realize if you start listening, you would just start laughing halfway into it, and then they'd get pissed. So you try not to listen, and yet then we're criticized for not listening, but it's really for them, right?
But yeah.
Thank you.
I was real proud of her, though. She did it. She did a really good job. And that thing was peaking. Have you ever seen it? What do they call the meter? The contraction thing. What do they call that? The contraction thing that goes... Anyway, peaked it. Like, it didn't go like this.
It went
bink.
Oh, pegged it?
Pegged it like 3 times. And I said, guys, can we get something in her?
Yeah.
And the doctor really casual. Yeah, looks like she's in some pain. Yeah.
Did it hit the rev limiter on the contractometer?
The lights are on.
Wow. Oh, true. True had the triplets. I can't imagine.
Oh, it's just, I can't. Really? Three of them? Man. One was just, she's holding the thing. They had a clamp on my wife in her private parts, but I didn't look what it was connected to. I just saw the end of it sticking.
And bar the kid clamp, grabbed it. What kind of clamp?
One of the mesh clamps that Hawkeye used to use, and she grabs.
Oh my God.
The kid, we come out, and the kid actually latched on and was grabbing and wouldn't let go when it came out. So the doctor had to literally pry the kid's fingers off the clamp.
See, I want to be like Fred McMurray in the waiting room with the cigars and pacing. And
Fred Flintstone.
And where I run into that other guy, hey, bub, what do you got? I'm on my fifth.
Very,
you know, we pass knowing glances.
Very Jimmy Stewart Capra-esque.
Yeah,
she had another one. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah. That's what I want.
I hope this one's a boy.
Doctor, come back. It looks like there's another one.
Right, they keep coming.
And then the music, that weird computer. Do-do-do-do.
Yeah, and then I faint and that kind of thing.
At the fourth one. Fourth or fifth one, you faint.
Right, right. Katie?
Hello?
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
What is up?
Okay, my boyfriend has kind of a rape fetish. I don't know really what to call it. It's kind of a quirk with him. He's an artist. He draws it quite frequently. And he
draws the rapes?
Huh?
He draws the rapes?
He has a character that he has raping all of these random females.
Oh, I see.
We've had several talks about it. He said that this started when his mom left. It was sort of, you know, he had lack of control of his life.
You know, he doesn't work in pastels, does he?
Chalk?
No.
Yeah, the rape, charcoal. Rape in pastels, not good, yeah. So it'd be acrylics or maybe charcoal.
Huh? No, it's mostly ink, but
oh,
anyway.
I see. All right, so he likes to draw. What's the character's name who does all the raping?
Drip.
Drip, okay. Drip the rapist.
This
guy should write for Highlights magazine.
For kids.
Man.
Yeah. Drip the rapist.
Boys yeah. Life.
That was a cartoon in Weekly Reader, wasn't it? I remember in fourth grade.
Yeah. Drip. So that disturbs you a little bit?
Well, it's gone a little beyond that. It got to the point where the rape was pretty much all he... drawing it got him aroused. It got to that point. When I first met him, it was... probably, it was coming down from at his worst peak of this problem, and we were virgins when we met each other. We were each other's first, and he was having a hard time getting off, so I let him experiment with it a little bit, and it got to the, you know, he tied me up, and he was just, you know, pretending he was this rapist thing. He was going to kill me and everything, and I humored it as long as I could. It got to the point where I just could not stand it anymore.
What happened that made you actually kind of cut it off? Did he just leave you in a trunk overnight? What happened?
Huh?
I mean, because I had a girl once that did that actually was into this, and I was like 19 or 18, 19 times.
Into the rape thing?
Yeah, she was into rape me once, and I was like, so pathetic. It was like, okay, uh-huh. Bitch, smack, and it was nothing. And she actually said to me, she goes, it's all right. That's what she finally said. So what got to the point that made you, because you were with her for a while, what pushed it over the edge?
It got more and more violent, the things that he'd say. He would start with just saying, I'm going to kill you, and then he'd start going into detail and stuff like that. And
right.
I just finally said, okay, we've got to stop it. And he agreed, no more. He agreed it was getting a little out of hand.
Well, okay, this guy seems like a keeper. I mean,
what is your mom? Does your mom like him?
No, my mom doesn't like him. But
really?
No, aside from this problem, he's a very decent guy. I mean,
what's he
really
do for a living?
I mean, aside from the wanting to kill you and then go into detail problem, he's a very nice guy. Okay.
Right. No, I mean, he's really soft-spoken and he's really timid in real life. I think he did this mainly from our talks. What he's said is he's done this just because of lack of control of his life, and it just got a little out of hand.
Right. But let me explain a couple of things. First off, John Wayne Gacy was a clown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You understand? And every time, and I'm not saying this guy's a serial killer, but every time they profile these guys, they're soft-spoken, they're friendly, they're involved
charming.
With the community, yeah. Quiet guys. And then they have this very dark, scary side that rears its ugly head once a month, and somebody gets hurt. What are you still with this guy for?
Well, it's just a thing with him. I mean, otherwise, he's
One of the more highly predictive sort of historical qualities in these guys that suggest real trouble is if they hurt animals. Does he have a history of doing that?
No.
You sure?
He doesn't. He's very soft-spoken. Very
no, listen.
Hurt animals at all.
He never had a history of that?
No, never.
Okay. Never when he was a kid or anything like that?
What?
Not when he was a kid or anything?
No, never.
Does he ever draw squirrels being raped or no?
So Drip's not into that.
All right. And what's he doing for a living? Video store?
He's a security guard.
Oh,
boy.
Well, that's bad. Uh-huh. Yeah, but he doesn't have a gun, right?
No, he doesn't have a gun.
No, he just gets a pepper spray.
But the thing is, this is just, it's a quirk with him, and he vents it through the drawing after we experiment.
All right, but hold on. Hey, you downgrading the rape fantasies to quirk. Let me tell you what quirk is. quirk is where it's like you wear sandals with socks. You know, that's a quirk.
Or your eye twitches once in a while when you're nervous.
Right. That's a quirk is when you have to, you know, before you go to bat, you touch the fence three times.
Right.
That's a quirk.
Right.
A quirk is a mild eye twitch.
This guy threatening to kill you when he's having sex is a little beyond quirk.
Drawing rape pictures. You know here's what I think you want. Here's what I think you want from us. You want us to go, you know what, it's okay, I'm sure it's healthy in a way, getting it out.
No,
I'm telling you, that's what you should
say. I know, we're never going to say it.
This guy, you know what I would say right now? I swear to God, if I was your brother, run. If anything, I'd be at this guy's house. I gotta tell you, when you start talking about violence like that, someone is thinking of violence like that, and wanting to just kind of play around with it, look, if you like the guy, you like the guy, it's great. But I gotta be honest with you, it's the scariest call. I've been on the show twice. This is the scariest call I've ever heard. Everything you've talked about this guy goes through every profile I've heard of, Dahmer and all those guys. I'm not saying he is. Maybe he does have a quirk, but it's a quirk that scares the living hell out of me. And if my sister was involved in it, or a girl I knew was involved in it, there would definitely be a problem.
Would
definitely be a problem. You need to be afraid.
All right, so that's our thought on it, Katie.
Okay.
Rest is up to you, but you don't want to get in a position one day, 8 months from now, where you're duct taped to something.
And you're thinking, boy, Christopher Titus was right, huh?
That son of a bitch from Fox was right.
9:30 Wednesday.
That's right.
But she could just have him, you know, checked out and evaluated, and somebody could watch this and be responsible for it.
She could. But here's, I guess, what our message on this show is aren't there enough people on the planet where, as a 20-year-old articulate, I'm sure, cute girl, that you have to be saddled with this crazy guy as a security guard who draws the rapist? Do you know what I mean? Couldn't you just go take a class at a junior college and meet a dude the next day?
There you go. Sit down, make a list. Good points, bad points. Security guard, don't know which category that goes in. Definitely know the drip fantasy cartoon rapist character goes in the bad side.
Right. Bill?
Yes.
You're 32?
Yeah, I am. First, I want to say I love your guys' show, and I love the Man Show, and Chris, I love the Titus Show, man. All the shows rock.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks.
But, yeah, I just wanted to ask. I have this girlfriend that I met at the Michigan Renaissance Festival. I've been dating her for about 5 months now, and she has an extreme oral fetish. I mean, she gets mad if I don't, you know, let go in her mouth.
Oh, I see. Right. You mean she wants you to orgasm in her mouth?
Yeah.
Yeah, hold on a second. You know, it's really funny. It's funny how your mind works. He goes... I met this girl, and I was like, okay, 135 pounds. I met her in Michigan. Okay, she's up to 155. At the Renaissance Festival, 205. She's only happy when I orgasm in her mouth. She's up to 316. I just kept tacking the weight on her. It was like piling sandbags onto a scale.
He actually did write it.
I had an ironic idea of her with the Puff the Magic Dragon cartoon, you know, the puppet show.
Right.
and then, oh man, here's the boy.
Big mutton chop in one hand and a penis in the other. All right, so Bill.
Yeah. She's only about 107 pounds.
Wow. She's into speed?
Yeah, she's a spinner.
What?
She's a spinner. She gets on top and goes to town.
She's so light, you know. But
sexual.
But you know, here's the oddest thing that really threw me for a loop is one day we were sitting down on the couch and she went and got a bowl of ice cream, and when she came back, she just like pulled my drawers down, did me off onto her ice cream, and then sat down and ate it.
Right.
And ever since then, it's like every time she eats ice cream or cake or anything, it's got to be on there.
Oh, your semen's got to be on there? And even like if you're at a kid's party?
No.
Okay, so that could get awkward.
Exactly. How about at the puppet show with Puff?
Is this like really abnormal or what?
Oh, man, everyone does that.
Yeah, well, wait a minute. I'm a little more curious about the Renaissance Festival. What was her gig there?
She's one of the performers.
What does she do?
Well,
I just hope she plays
the royal court.
Yeah.
Is she the queen?
No. Just one of the ladies in waiting of the queen.
Maids of milking.
Yeah.
And what did you, and what were you doing there?
I'm on the performance cast.
Oh!
And what do you do?
I'm a Scotsman.
I see.
A Scottish court.
How does this? To me, this is only the Trekkies confuse me more than the Renaissance folks. But so now, what's all right? So she likes this. Does she seem to have deep emotional issues?
Not that I've noticed, but I mean, it's like I said, it's an obsession with her. It's like she can't get enough of it.
So here's a question. You have a problem that most, that 99.925% of the male population wouldn't be calling a talk show about. What is your problem with it?
Well, I'm kind of scared about this one the way you were scared about the last one.
Oh, yeah? Okay, yeah. Well, I'm not sure what the background
no,
is.
No, I agree with Chris, but she's taken it to such extremes, I think it's spooking
a little bit.
Me too.
She's so obsessed with it. I mean, it's like every time we're together, she has to have it, and... she doesn't want to do anything else. Except
but she's
that.
Not interested. It's not the act of giving you oral sex. It's the ingestion of the semen. That's what I find bizarre.
I have a question. Is she into any? This is a witchcraft or anything?
Actually, yeah, she's a Wiccan.
Oh. There you go. Ooh. Made it. Oh yes. Beat you guys to it.
Yeah,
sorry.
But 107 pounds.
Yeah. They don't accept women under 200 pounds, do they, that religion?
Actually, you'd be surprised. There's quite a few gorgeous women.
But now we're going down the
is
trauma.
Now I'm scared, actually, frankly.
Is she into any drugs?
No.
But we are going down the trauma path now.
As far as I know, she's never done any drugs.
Anything screwy happened to her growing up?
No, what screwy happened to her?
Okay, what screwy?
If there was, she didn't tell me.
Yeah, well, it's not there.
Right. Well, you're getting hints with the ice cream and the dessert tray.
You're in love with her, right?
I don't know about that.
All right. Well, listen.
At first, it was kind of like real thrilling and everything, but now it's like she's so obsessed with it.
All right, well, you kind of a healthy sort of... boundary with all this. You're looking. You're assessing the relationship.
Now, does she want you to save it when you're not with her?
No, it hasn't come to that yet. But it's almost like I'm expecting it.
So she's crossed a creepy line, obviously.
Yeah, like I said, I don't know whether to stay with this girl or not, and see where it goes or what.
Don't get her pregnant.
Oh, no.
I know there's no chance of that unless she belches in her own vagina or something. But
I make sure she's been taking the pill, and I make sure I'm there watching her take it and swallow the darn thing, and I use a condom and everything.
That sounds good.
Pill? What?
Her pill. Nice. Yeah, that's nice. It's like a scene from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest where the nurse stands over and makes sure she doesn't stuff it between her cheek and gum and then spit it into the toilet.
Oh, my God.
Look, nobody pick up anyone at the Renaissance Festival.
No,
you're
not
asking.
A good place
you're
to.
Asking for trouble. Yeah, absolutely are.
All of a sudden, I'm going to have a different sort of view of those young women lined up along the court. There, you know?
Drew, you seem to know a fair amount about what goes on at these festivals.
I've never been to one.
Really?
No.
You sure?
I'm just imagining. No, I've never been to one.
Okay. All right.
That's just my imagination. There's a lot of Puff the Magic Dragon and people with. Pointy hats on.
All right.
And now I'm not going to be able to walk to him without just totally cracking up.
Her name would be like Anne Blowin. Would that work? Good porn name. I got Drew, everybody.
Hey,
all right, we'll take ourselves a little break. Christopher Titus is here tonight. Fox, 9:30 Wednesday nights, and we'll be right back.
Hello, this is Vince DiFiore from the band Cake.
Hi, my name is John McCrae from the band Cake, and you're listening to Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Danger and caution go hand in hand.
Yeah, it's true.
Funny, I was just heard a Cake song two nights ago and thought, I love those Cake guys.
Yeah, they're nice guys.
They're good, too.
Yeah. They have a bunch Vince of horns plays that band,
don't they? No, Vince plays the trumpet. It's great, though. Got to get them back in here. Christopher Titus is our guest tonight.
Reluctantly crouched at the starting line.
That's right. That's a great song. Titus is, of course, the name of the show. Wednesday night, 9:30 on Fox. And let's get
back. Actually, that's the most promo. Actually, just now, I've got more promo tonight than we got in the whole last 3 weeks. Good job. Thank you.
Chris lives his life in television as we have.
Yeah, we never got any promos. Thank God, too. All that lame brain vacation stuff.
Oh, man.
Hey, Laura?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on the show. I love it.
Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Well, here's my question. my boyfriend and I haven't had sex or anything, but his penis is really curved.
Mm-hmm.
And first I'm wondering, is that normal, and is it going to make sex hard?
A certain amount of curve is normal. It's not reaching all the way back and touching himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
not like curly.
Not cute. A U-turn.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, not a pig's tail.
It's not a Mobius strip of some sort.
It's probably about 90 degrees or so.
Ooh,
wow.
That's not so normal. He may want to get that looked into as a function.
On. Yeah, hold but on. He can also level
Wait,
shelving.
Does she know what 90 degrees
no,
is?
No, she doesn't know what 90 degrees is.
Well, like a square corner. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, wait a minute now.
That's an accident.
Yeah, that is 90 degrees, but, well, 180 be in your ass, right?
Yes, yeah.
Right.
So,
no, that's not
90 be, 90, well, 360 be come back around again.
Yeah.
But 90 would just be against one hip.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, 90 degrees, if you were laying on your bed with an erection and your penis was straight up and that was noon, 90 would be at 3 o'clock.
Yeah.
Or 9 o'clock, depending on which way he
pulls. He goes to the right, so it's 3 o'clock.
But he can't be
in Australia at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Right. He can't be at 90. He can't be just straight. I mean, he could be at like 145 or something.
I think she's talking about this, not this.
I mean, it goes up and then goes to 90.
Yeah, I don't think there's a right angle on it. I don't think there's a square corner. I think it just curves all. It ends up at a 90, right?
Yeah, that's right.
It curves around like a banana kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
All right. So, well, that's
impressive.
Quite substantial, yeah.
Does it get erect normally and stay erect, that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, it stays, but...
You might want to give him about 800 units of vitamin E every day. I'm dead serious about this, that really? If he has Peyronie's disease, the contraction of the tissue that's pulling it over to the one side like that can loosen up and it can straighten back out a little bit.
I can't believe it's 90. You couldn't get it in at 90.
Well, that's what I'm worried about. Is that I've never had sex before and neither has he.
Oh, I see.
And so I'm just wondering, is it even going to work?
It's going to be a challenge.
Sideways or something?
Yeah. He could go in breach, as they call it.
I will say this: I don't think you're going to have the problem. I think he's the one that's going to be in pain. Right? I don't think you're going to be the one to worry about it. I think he's the one that's going to have to worry about it.
It could give you some strange pressure, I imagine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or some amazing pressure, huh, Drew?
We'll see.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, good times. I mean, what have you given him an oral sex?
No.
No. Okay. Uh-uh. All right. Well, that's. I don't know how's that.
How's that even work?
I'm not sure how that would work either.
It's kind of like a straw.
I mean, really,
how
far does it? It goes out straight initially.
Yeah.
And about how far does it go out straight?
What percentage of the way up to the tip?
2-3 inches, probably.
2-3 inches straight, and then bends all the way over to a 90.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ! Yeah, he's never seen a doctor.
I don't think so.
He really should.
Okay.
Because it's something called Peyronie's disease he may have. And,
he said that I was the only person who knew about it. So.
All right. Well, better he should have somebody take a look at it. Just
what is Peyronie's disease? What is it?
It's just a it's a fibrous plaque that forms on one side of the penis and pulls it over to that side. And the problem is that in order to get rid of that, other than the vitamin E, they have to cut a pie shape out of the other side and pull it back.
What about training it? Like, you know, kid wears a headset for his orthodonture. Couldn't you
sort of
train
her?
Yeah, some sort of retainer.
Just
for
leave
your penis?
Leave it in her vagina chronically, and the
no, so leave it on his penis. Hook it up like a brace. Yeah, and start working it back.
Three or four coat hangers. You tie them up together. You straighten it out a little bit. You work it. You straighten it out.
A little duct tape.
There
like
you go.
Come along. Or
I'll tell
something.
You what. If it's that, or cut a pie shape out of it to stay. That's like metalwork, man. That's like form. That's like kind
right.
Of pie. No.
Yeah, he needs to work that out. Okay, let's talk to Justin, who's 19. Justin?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hey, I have a comment on that woman that called about the nephew with the really small penis.
Right.
Anyways, we're discussing this in psychology class, the idea between nature versus nurture. And in Canada, what they used to do when children are born with extremely small penises is they'd cut them off and cut the balls off, do a little, like, constructive surgery down there and raise them as girls.
No.
No, yeah, that's no.
That's, if they have ambiguous genitalia.
Yeah, he's confusing a little bit.
Hold on, is this junior college?
Yeah.
What?
Junior college?
UW.
No. How'd you get in there?
I mean, it's not like it was like a common thing, but I mean, if like the...
Well, listen, so relax. No. Here's what happened. There was actually a penis that was sloughed off in the course of a circumcision accident, and they decided to raise that child as a male, and they studied that child as he grew up.
Yeah, and he had a biological twin.
And he could not adjust to being a female, and like, you know, wouldn't like dressing, it wouldn't do things they wanted it to do. I mean, it was good evidence of how profoundly different the male and the female is. And there are many other cases where they had ambiguous genitalia, where actually you get a vagina, but it has testes. And they would try to raise that as a female, and it had never worked out.
Only in Canada, right?
No, happened here.
Yeah, it was a crazy story. I heard it maybe a year ago on like 2020 or something. It was like the most bizarre thing in the world. They never told the kid.
Yeah.
And the kid, you know, obviously, they had the kid on like some hormone therapy and stuff. And the kid then became a guinea pig. And the kid was starting to freak out, like having all these feelings and thinking the kid was a lesbian or just like bizarre. I mean, imagine that.
Man.
You think you're a female your whole life and you're actually a male.
Yeah.
And then at age 15, your mom calls you into the kitchen and has to have a little sit down with
the
you.
The talk. It's a lot different.
Yeah.
I love my parents. I need to hug my parents right now.
Yeah.
There's always someone worse.
Yep. They did not remove your genitalia in a botched circumcision. And then, like, panic and go, all right, I guess we'll make him into a chick.
What kind of botched circumcision? How bad? What do they get? A guy with a paper hat? How do you botch a circumcision
where
that bad?
Cut the penis
and by the way, the word slough off, it's still in my... I can't
it's
even...
Hurting you. You never want to slough your penis?
Oh, you nice? Can't.
But they don't... Not guys with small penises get turned into women in Canada.
Come on. If you're not a hockey player, you're a woman. Cut your penis off.
I had a patient where I swear that was her deal. I wanted to test her, but I didn't want to even bring it up because she was being treated for other things, and I thought, man, this is a male. This is not a female. And magically, she was on hormones, and there was all this weird stuff going on. I thought, oh, I know, this is not a female.
But also, it's one of these things where people always talk about society, man, you know, forcing girls to play with dolls and boys to play with guns, and this is all society and the man encroaching on our children.
BS.
You cut the guy's prick off, he's still a dude.
Yep. Yes.
Cut his prick off, put him in a dress, hand him a doll.
Put
him on estrogen and try to make the guy, and all you get is the world's most effed up chick.
Yeah.
This chick was like goth times 10 and just freaking out. I mean, just like lesbian.
What happened if they told her?
Oh, then it was like into a mental institution, and now she's running a studio.
Wow. So it worked out.
Green lighting project. She's running a few shows on the WB. I don't know what the hell happened to this person. But, I mean, like, my dad missed a couple of Pop Warner football games. I'm not done with him. You know what I mean? I still never forgive him for that. Could you imagine this? Jennifer?
Yes.
You're 21. What's up?
My boyfriend bit a small hole in the side of my nipple.
In the side?
He bit it?
Yes.
Like a dent?
No.
To me, a hole means through and through.
No, not like a hole, but like... a nice little dent.
Like a chunk.
Yeah.
Damn it. Okay.
What do I do?
Keep it clean, peroxide. If it gets swollen or any exudate, any white debris coming off, see a doctor immediately. If it swells or gets red, got to see someone.
Okay.
Are you mad at it?
Get infected.
No, it just hurts.
What? It hurts a lot?
Not a lot.
How long ago did it happen?
It happened. I'm sorry. I don't want to talk about that.
Well, it's 11:36 now. How long ago did it happen?
Oh, it happened 5 or 6 hours ago.
Oh, peroxide.
Well, what did she think you asked?
I don't know.
What possibly could you have asked a man to just lock up and...
I thought he asked, how did it happen?
How did it happen? I mean, sorry I bumped into you in the kitchen accident.
Yeah, no, I know. That's why I was like, why is he asking?
You guys were getting a little rough?
Yeah.
Okay. How are you doing with that? You all right?
Yeah.
Your dad rape you?
No.
You're not too freaked out?
No.
Hey, but you like the rough trade?
A little.
Yeah. You deserve it because you're naughty, right? Little bitch.
She's crying now. Don't you?
No, she's laughing. All right, you're all right? No rape fantasies?
No.
Okay, he doesn't he doesn't draw Goofo the rapist?
Drip the rapist?
Totally normal.
Guy's going to get a comic book deal with Marvel.
Peroxide, Jennifer, peroxide.
We keep bringing it up.
Poor peroxide over here.
Yeah, there's quite a buzz about Drip the rapist.
It was all over Loveline.
He's going to, T-shirts. I can see the whole thing. All right, let's take another call here, Drew. We'll take a break.
Nope.
Greg?
Hey, what's up?
You're 22. What's going on?
I had a tumor when I was 18. Well, when I was 18, and I didn't go through puberty until I was 18. And now...
Wait, you had a tumor where?
In my pituitary gland, sorry.
Oh, interesting.
And so... I find myself now just really depressed and, like, kind of feeling off a lot. And I don't know when puberty is going to finish, because I'm just starting now to get, like, hair underneath my arms. And, I don't know. I feel like something's just off with me.
Are you getting the other hormones replaced, too?
Maybe you're a chick.
Growth hormone and whatnot?
Wait a minute.
Yeah, well, I'm deficient in growth hormone, I just found out.
Are you getting that replaced?
Yeah, I'm about to start soon.
All right, that can make you feel funny, not having had enough of that. How about the thyroid function is normal?
Yeah, I'm taking Synthroid.
Okay, so you're on thyroid replacement, testosterone replacement, you're going to be on growth hormone replacement. How about prolactin?
Yeah, my prolactin counts. It was actually a prolactinoma.
Okay.
Are you a real doctor or just a love doctor?
I'm just a love doctor.
And how about the fact that he's been on hold for 75 minutes, this poor kid, Drew? How do you feel about that?
I feel like this is a kid that's motivated.
See what you did.
He's going to be a good patient.
How big or small are you, Greg?
What do you mean?
Well, what size? Are you undersized?
No, I'm actually pretty big. I'm
Greg,
5'8".
You know there's a book out there about a kid with a prolactin secreting tumor, right? Prolactinoma?
It's called Drippy.
A guy named Ken Baker wrote the book. I think it's called Man Made or something. And it's about how it was growing up and not going through puberty and not being understood. Why this is very apropos to what we were talking about tonight, and how he could never sort of excel athletically, and he was not really interested in sex. And man, when they took that pituitary tumor out, pow! I mean, it was a testosterone storm. He couldn't, masturbate 10 times a day. He's like a totally different person.
He raped the nurse who took it out.
And did you take bromocriptine or something, or did you have the tumor taken out?
I had the tumor taken out, but I still have to take bromocriptine.
Okay.
Now, is it a faster thing now? Is he going to go through puberty real fast now?
It sounds like they're sort of no.
No,
like
why is he on the...
I take testosterone each month. I take, like, an injection. Yeah.
Why is he taking the growth hormone if he's normal size?
Because you need growth hormone for normal... That's not just for growth. You need it for metabolism, too. But let me ask you this. So your prolactin levels are normal now or not?
It's still a little elevated.
All right. Well, that can make you depressed just by itself.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you got to get this adjusted. Are you going to, like, a university center to get this treated?
Yeah. I'm going to Cedars-Sinai.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Cedars in Los Angeles.
Yeah. LA, yeah.
All right.
Here's the thing. Puberty is hard. It's just hard.
Right.
You just go through
get that book, okay? It's Ken Baker, B-A-K-E-R. It's a great book about living with a prolactin secreting tumor as a young male. You will definitely, just reading that, I think, will make you feel better. And then realize that having elevated levels of prolactin around suppressed testosterone function and make you depressed.
Cedars-Sinai is like the Jewish hospital, right? And it's important to
and
go.
And no one around the world is that. Yes. Yes, Adam.
Nobody knows more about the medical industry than Jews, right? Am I right?
They invented it.
Historically, yes.
I mean, they're hypochondriacs, and they would not settle for anything but the best. Yeah. That's not a dig, but yeah. I would feel more, Drew, yeah. If you're taking your child to a hospital. Jew hospital? Goyim. What do you go with?
I'm going Jew all the way.
Jew, hands down.
Me too. I'm with the Jews.
I trained at Cedars. I did some training there.
Right, so beside that black eye, they're a pretty good, good institution.
People actually use it. Some of our writers use it in L.A. as, what do you have, baby? Cedars. Yeah. And then you feel like, I'm going to Simi Valley. Yeah. Dang, I feel like a loser.
Yeah.
I don't think I have the show. I should be going to,
Simi Valley, Sutherland. Whoa.
Come on.
Did you really have your kid? Where you didn't go to see me? You didn't go to see me.
No one's seeing me.
The humanity.
What do they have? Is it a tent or does it actually have hospital set?
there was some flowing through the mud a little bit, but there was a clean room. Actually, it was a great hospital. A nice birthing room and stuff. Real mellow.
Why? Well, by the way, Simi is not close.
Well, we lived in Canoga Park at the time.
Oh, okay.
So okay.
All right.
Close.
Well, then that's
now, see, I feel worse. Now you're ripping on me.
Well, listen, I grew up in the Valley, and I'll barely go to a restaurant in the Valley, much less a hospital. Please. All right, we're going to take ourselves a little break. Greg, what? Who? Jennifer? Jennifer had a sex change 6 years ago. Can she have it reversed?
Oh, mama.
She who was a he, right?
Oh.
Is that a pain in the ass?
To reverse it?
Yeah.
We'll have to replace the penis?
I think I could find one.
I think this is, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, we'll talk to her.
Yeah. There's donors dying on motorcycles all the time. We'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Christopher Titus is our guest tonight. You can find him on Wednesday nights on Fox at 9:30, doing his show in his third successful season. Drew, you all right?
See how that works? He talks. See what happened to me?
Drew started yawning. Jennifer?
Hello?
Hello.
Hi. Who's this?
This is the show.
Oh, okay. I thought you were the guy that answered.
Right.
He asked me it was kind of funny. He asked me a question I didn't think about. He said, isn't it easier now getting laid instead of, you know, when I was a man? And it's just, it kind of, I was kind of in shock when he said it, but... he's right, because, you know, you have the yes or the no, and, you know, the guy has to respect that or
sure.
Not.
Right.
But anyway, one of the...
But it's not like you look like Donna Dixon. I mean, you were a dude, right? I mean, you look like B. Arthur, right?
I was a man, and what had happened is I was bisexual.
Right.
And I thought that... You know, that was, and I know the counselor said that's not true, but the counselor said, you know, that, but I thought that, you know, bisexuality was just a, you know, like a precursor to homosexuality.
Yeah.
And so I figured, you know, well, I, you know, don't want to do that. And
you don't want to go gay, right?
No. And, right. And so I figured, you know, I've always been told that I've been kind of, you know, feminine and feminine qualities and everything. And I thought, right. Well... you know, it seems so natural to change. And so, you know, it took quite a while. I had to go through a lot of counseling and everything. And,
right.
And then...
make sure you were sane, and then you had your penis cut off.
I'm sorry?
Right. Okay, hold on. Are you on your cell phone?
Yeah.
Okay. So now you want to switch back to being a man now.
Yeah, because what's happened is
She got her first yeast infection and said, screw this.
Cannot drink this much cranberry juice ever again.
No, it's not that.
you know your auto insurance is going to go back up again when you get that penis. Something to think about.
Sounds like a piglet.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Listen. Andrew, how many times have I said this, that people who, to me, the definition of insanity is wanting gender reassignment. There is no greater argument for being insane than wanting your penis surgically removed. And the fact that we need to study these people for a year to make sure they're perfectly sound mentally so that they can go ahead and have the penis cut off is comical to me. And the doctors who do it are insane. And these guys who, you know, they think they're doing the Lord's work with, they're trapped inside. No, they're trapped inside a nut job's body.
Right.
It's not a woman trapped inside a man's body. It's a woman trapped inside a nut job's body.
See, so like I love the moral argument of, you know what? I didn't want to go gay. That's bad. So right. I just wanted to have my body mutilated.
What these people is they go female to have relationships with lesbians.
Look, I always say too, if any doctor's listening who performs this procedure, what if I came in and said that my right hand was possessed and I couldn't stop scratching my ass in public and I wanted you to take it off? Would you say that would be an ethical procedure?
Well, we'd have some counseling. We'd have to have a little about 6 months of counseling.
Then you realize my hand was really possessed. I felt trapped inside a guy who didn't scratch his ass's body. And I want it removed. Would you go ahead and take that off, you quacks?
Yes, we would. And then, you know, chunk flop. Bag it up, sew it up, move it on.
All right, so Jennifer, you want it? Now, can this procedure be reversed, or what are you going to have?
You guys are funny.
You got a good sense of humor for someone who wants their penis back. Do you get a new penis, or they give you the old one back? Where's that, with Disney somewhere?
Some sort of preservation, pyrogenic penis-like vault?
I can't.
Let's see if you can get a black one this time. Who paid for this? Did I pay for this? Did the state have to pay for this?
Please.
That's the other part I like.
Please, I need to ask you a question.
How much did this cost? The first time.
She's going to die in a car accident right now.
Great.
Right.
Would you, yeah.
Can I ask you a question? I'm having a hard time because you guys are making me laugh.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay. But, you know, I'd heard you, you know, when you put me on hold, you said something about the Lord, and it's kind of hard for me now because it's really complicated. I became a Christian, and, you know, mainly the reason that I'm switching back is because, you know, I just, what I did, I don't think it's right. I think it's wrong, and
right,
I just,
right.
You know, I want to, you know, I was going to say rectify it. That might not sound right.
Right.
Well, are you happy? Well, here's, just, you know, by the way, way out of my league even asking this question. Are you happy the way you are now?
Or
if your Christian buddies kind of made... Go ahead.
Yeah.
I guess the thing that I'm having a hard time with is that I like women and, you know...
Oh, now you don't want to be a lesbian.
And, you know...
Oh, my! You didn't want to be gay before. Yeah. Now you don't want to be a lesbian because you're Christian and you want to go down on a chick. Oh my God! I'd like to find your dad and kick him right in the sack if he still got it.
But I'd like to talk to you to develop a sitcom for next year.
Yeah.
Holy Christ!
Like Jennifer, how much? Let me ask you a couple of questions. Have you slept with any men since you've changed sexes?
Oh, yeah.
Do you tell them? Do they know?
Well, I'm kind of afraid to tell.
You don't tell them. So do they know?
Well, one of them. One of them didn't know, and that's the most recent right now.
Yeah, did you ever tell him?
No, and right. That's what I'm kind of afraid of, too. And
are you still with him?
Yeah.
You're still with him. Okay, and he doesn't know?
No.
And he doesn't suspect?
No, uh-uh.
Maybe he...
I've been cheating on him, though, with women.
With women. And maybe he's...
It's really difficult.
Well, maybe he was a woman who became a man, and he's keeping that.
You know,
from
let's Jennifer. What we'll do? We're going to get Jennifer's phone number and check up on him, her again in the future, and just see how she's getting along and what happens. It's an interesting story.
Yeah, I got another 20 minutes I could do.
And
with
very
it.
Well, oh yeah, and very well adjusted, oddly enough, for a born again Christian
penisless sex change female
who wants to go back.
Good sense of humor. That's the key thing here.
Well, as always.
But I think as we get to know Jennifer, we'll find a lot of interesting stuff. I'm sure.
Mm.
A lot.
All right. I'd like to talk to her boyfriend too, and really,
we're going to do that on the air.
All right, I'd like to talk to everybody. So just get Jennifer's number, and maybe we'll put together, we'll pass the hat, see if we can't buy a penis. We'll be back. I want to thank Christopher Titus for coming in here. Always good to see him, and you should come in more.
Thanks for having me on. 9:30 Wednesday's hit show, Fox Titus.
That's right. Keep watching. Keep that money rolling in. Daddy needs a new blower. So until next time, this is Adam Kroller for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo. You got a good sense of humor for someone who wants their penis back. Do you get a new penis or they give you the old one back? Where's that, with Disney somewhere?
Some sort of preservation, pyrogenic penis-like vault?
Yeah.
I can't.
Let's see if you can get a black one this time.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.